Noelle McCarthy is with us, talking about what the world is talking about.
That's right. Everybody knows that Jerry Collins, the former All Black, has been arrested in Japan. He was caught with a knife in a department store.
Yes.
And the blade in the knife was longer than is allowable in Japan. He's claiming the knife was for self-defense, leading at least one wag on Twitter to wonder what a tough guy like Jerry could be afraid of. Godzilla, perhaps.
I'm sorry, I used to live in Tokyo. There is no need to be carrying weapons. One, he's probably been, this is true, he will have been arrested under violation of the Firearms and Swords Prevention Act.
Is there really a Firearms and Swords Prevention
Act? There is indeed. It's the only country in the world I know that has a Firearms and Swords Prevention Act.
Maybe he was going to fillet a blowfish or something like that, like some sushi preparation.
With his penknife. Yeah, yeah. I'd be eating that sushi afterwards.
Definitely. You would never see anybody, you know, carrying a samurai sword down the street in
Well,
Japan,
of course not.
You?
It's against the law. That's the law works.
Yeah.
Except when this fella shows up, obviously.
So anything over 15 centimetres is not allowable, and Jerry's was 17.
That's long.
It's quite a long blade.
Yeah, it's quite a long
Where was
blade.
That? Was it secreted upon his person?
Well, somebody must have found it because he's been arrested.
He slept it on the counter, didn't he? The reportage is that he walked behind a shop counter, which attracted the attention of the security guard. And as the guard approached, Jerry slapped the knife on the counter.
Has he been visiting the Zach Guilford School of Behaviour?
I don't know. And he's been arrested. And is he in custody?
From what I could see, there are various different reports. One claimed that he had been receiving threats through one or the other of the social media platforms, which was why he was carrying a knife.
All will be revealed.
More will be revealed.
More will be revealed.
In the meantime, here is a study from Australia which says that wind turbine sickness is all in the mind. Were you familiar with this phenomenon of wind turbine sickness?
Is it if you eat too many of them?
Or as it's also known as wind turbine syndrome, vibroacoustic disease, or visceral vibratory vestibular disturbance.
Wow, no, you're making those
up. I'm not making those
up. You made those up.
I'm not making those up. Those are some of the terms which are mentioned in this study.
That's the noise they make, isn't it?
Visceral vibratory vestibular disturbance.
There's also AADD, which is aesthetic affront distaste disorder.
I had not seen that acronym in here. That's another good one.
Thank you.
But this is a real phenomenon, people claiming to be ill when they live next door to wind farms. So this was investigated in Australia, and scientists over there looked at 49 wind farms. And what they found was that 63% of these wind farms have never caused anyone to complain of ill health. So living next door to them brings no ill health whatsoever. But the ones where people do complain of symptoms tend to be in communities where anti-wind farm activists have been active.
Pure coincidence.
Pure coincidence.
Yeah, I'd say that's just coincidence.
It would be so simple to avoid, right? I mean, when wind farms are set up because wind moves in a prevailing direction, right? So all you need to do is live upwind from the farm. And then any vibrations will just go downwind, surely.
No, that's good. So you just shift to the other side of the countryside around. You just move around the wind farm.
Other side of the blades.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely simple.
A new wind farm's popping up. That's the thing as well these days.
How often are they planted, really? You know, it takes a while for them to grow.
I see. Yes, yeah. I see what you're saying.
He's a funny man. You see, he's rivaling you for comedy, Penny Ashton.
I'm just sitting back.
He's trading quip for quip.
Does he get paid for it?
What about the old... there is the, in more old-fashioned parlance, the plain old annoyance with the noise and the vibrations. I mean, it's not just people claim they're sick.
Well, you see, there's trouble around this one too, because the Professor Simon Chapman, who's in charge of this Australian study, he actually cited a New Zealand study which found that people who are exposed to what you're talking about, Jim, which is technically called infrasound.
Right, thank you.
No. The sub-audible noise from wind farms, which some people say, you know, gives them headaches or makes them dizzy. People were exposed, one half were exposed to infrasound, the other people were exposed to complete silence, which they had been told was infrasound. And what they found in both cases was that the volunteers who'd been told about the potential harmful side effects experienced them, or said they experienced them. This is what's being called a communicated disease.
A communicated disease.
And that's a sickness spread by the claim that something is likely to make you sick.
So a kind of hysteria.
A self-fulfilling prophecy is another way to say it.
There could have been secret infrasound sneaking in through the silence that they didn't know about.
Was that an acronym that you were just making up there?
An SSI. Yes. It's also being called a nocebo effect.
A nocebo.
Which is the opposite, of course, of a placebo effect. effect. And that's the belief that something will cause an illness created by the perception that something's going to cause an illness.
Gotcha.
It's almost as though they want it to cause an illness, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yes.
And they can get them shut down. Yeah.
Which is another long-winded way of saying that the jury's still out, because these studies are still continuing in Australia.
Yes. I thought I'd let you take that
I think there'll be a few riposts to this research announcement today as well.
And a lot of people hate the way that they look, but I actually think wind farms look quite beautiful. I know a lot of people don't, but I think they do.
Up close, though? I mean, there's one thing to see a wind farm.
I haven't been up close.
No, well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, from a distance. Well, and it's just that it's a matter of opinion. I mean, there's people like you who are enchanted by them, and people like...
Well, I live next to Eden Park, and that doesn't enchant me very much at all.
You see, you're close to Eden Park. That's the difference.
Well, that's extra sound as opposed to infra sound.
It's just lots
that's
of right. sound.
That's lots of sound. Thank you, Noel.
Well, you may be a fan of wind farms, Penny. What about landlines? Do you have an old-fashioned...
I do, because I have old-fashioned father and mother primarily. Well, more father than mother, actually, if she's listening. Mum's great with Skype and stuff, but Dad, not so much.
So you feel you should call them on an old phone rather
They call me. I call them on my mobile because I have 3 minutes. They call me on that Vodafone deal where you can ring the rest of the country for free. So I'm sort of paying my thing. And also my partner's English, so his parents... If they don't Skype, they will ring the landline as well.
Okay, thank you. For that
I'm not sure what that's got to do with being English.
Because of, you know, rates to mobiles. They do Skype as well.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah.
Sure. Well, I thought it was an English thing that we don't know how to use Skype.
Because you're old-fashioned. They have a Bakelite phone that turns.
Is it a candle still when you have to hold the thing to your ear as
that's
well?
That's right.
Excellent.
With a little long string.
And presumably there's a butler who answers the phone for
all of this banter is actually germane to the story.
It is.
Please proceed.
Indeed. Because given that the presence of a landline can no longer be assumed in the average home, if you do have a landline, ask yourself, can you hang it up? When you finish a conversation, can you click it and replace the handset?
I have one of each. I have one that you can hang up, and so that's the one I talk to my parents when I have an argument, obviously, so I can go bam. But the other one is like a deep afterwards.
Well, this is exactly what the author of an article in The Atlantic is talking about. She begins by explaining an anecdote. She's helping her kids to call grandma, and in the middle of this, the line drops out. She realises, because of this, that it's pretty much impossible to hang up on somebody anymore. On a landline, this woman had very fond memories of her father slamming down the phone on people who were calling to sell him things or with wrong numbers.
Well, what's wrong with a mobile phone app that sounds like you're slamming the phone down?
Well, you don't need to bother with that if you're with one of the networks that caused the call to drop out. And this is what she's saying has done away with the hang-up.
She says,
nowadays, if you're having a conversation with someone and you have a difference of opinion or you don't want to talk to them anymore, you can simply claim that you dropped the call.
Right,
only cowardly and passive aggressive.
Well, this is what she's arguing, that having smartphones has actually turned us all into milquetoast.
Yes.
Does she?
In the old days, you were able to pick up your Bakelite phone, as Penny's talking about, slam it down when you were sick of it. Nowadays, you can't do that anymore.
I don't miss those days. I don't recall. No, I mean, do you miss those days where you can't slam the phone down on people
anymore? I actually don't fight very much with many people. Sometimes I would like to do that too. I'd like to slam the door in the face a lot of the time with people that come knocking when I need my afternoon snooze, which happens quite a bit. But the whole hanging up thing, it doesn't bother me that much. But I do have this great retro phone that I got from eBay that is pretty cool that you could do that with.
You could.
But it doesn't bother me.
This author argues, today the true hang-up, one you really meant to perform out of anger or frustration or exhaustion, is only temporary and one-sided, even if it's successfully executed. Even during a heated exchange, your interlocutor will first assume something went wrong in the network, and you could easily pretend such a thing was true later if you wanted. Calls aren't ever really under our control anymore. They drop intransitively.
You could always text immediately afterwards saying, I just hung up on you.
Yeah, just hang up on
you. Just to underline the point. Yeah.
I think he's interviewing his keyboard.
But it used to be great years ago when I was first at university. I had a job in doing telephone sales, and I was incoming. I could never do the outgoing stuff. But I would have to answer the calls, and you know, it was actually a women's clothing catalogue, and I have to take the calls for it. And every now and then, yeah, you can imagine it.
Can you imagine him taking the calls for a women's clothing catalogue?
What cup size was
that? No,
well, actually, it was info. It was actually specialised in lingerie for the larger lady.
Wow.
But every now and then you get some really cantankerous old back come on, and she start yelling at you down the phone. And then you say, I'm sorry? Sorry? And you start talking over it. I'm sorry, mum. Sorry, can't hear you. Oh, sorry. But call appears to be cut, and you hang up on her. And that's how you get away from having to deal with these really stroppy customers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we can do.
What's the firm? It's not too late to advise them of your behaviour.
No, this was back in the 1980s in Manchester.
Lingerie for the larger lady.
But the author...
Yes. Website's dedicated to
the author actually also is arguing that it's the design of phones that means you can't hang them up anymore. The last phone you could successfully execute a hang-up with was a shell phone. You know, the ones you can snap shut.
Oh, yeah.
You
can't do clam.
It... Yes, you can't do it on a Galaxy or on an iPhone.
I have not mourned that loss.
However. No, nor me.
I would much prefer to be able to use my smartphone to, you know, use the map. Yeah.
And anyway, I'm English. We're far too polite for that. I don't think I've ever actually slammed the phone down on anybody. We usually apologise.
Or pretend that you can't hear them.
Oh, well, your customers at the larger lingerie company.
Part of your customer service. Yeah. Oh, if you don't care that you can't hang up the phone anymore, do you care that the internet is watching you?
What, all of it?
All of us, all of the time.
This is Bruce Schneier, isn't it?
That's right.
And he was a guest on Afternoons.
You interviewed him, yes, that's right. Well, Bruce says that whatever you do online is being watched and can be tracked. And he offers three pieces of evidence for his thesis. Firstly, Chinese military hackers were caught recently because they logged onto Facebook from the same network they were using for their hacking attacks.
Right.
Secondly, Hector Monsegur, an experienced hacker, was arrested last year by the FBI, even though he was very careful to try and cover his traces.
Yes.
And thirdly, Paula Broadwell, who had the affair with ex-CIA director David Petraeus.
Yeah, where did she go wrong? Because she was using Google Docs, wasn't she?
And she was being very, very careful. She never logged onto her email from home. She only used hotels and public networks. Yeah. But the FBI, you see, were able to correlate registration data from several hotels. And that's how they found her name.
Is that how they tracked
her? That's what
up?
They did, yeah. Yeah, they looked through the records.
Gotcha.
So what Bruce is saying is once you're online, you can be tracked. You can be tracked on Google, you can be tracked on Facebook, you can be tracked on your iPhone, on your iPad. And one reporter he uses an example of used a tool called Collusion to track who was tracking him. And he found 105 companies who were tracking his internet use during 36 hours.
Good Lord.
105. Mm. Well, gathering marketing data. That you're
and of course, yes, this is all about being able to target people. And he says the corollary of this is ubiquitous surveillance. We're all being watched all the time.
So that's his main point. Yeah. Treat the internet as an enemy in that respect.
Yeah. And he said it doesn't matter if you limit what you search for on Google on your iPhone. It doesn't matter if you use browsers that allow you to delete your cookies. It doesn't matter if you use an alias on Facebook. It just takes one mistake.
Yeah. But the thing is, right, half of New Zealand's not got an excuse for actually Googling lingerie for the larger lady. I've gifted that to our listenership.
So this isn't surprising to me. I've just assumed that that's the case.
Well, indeed. You know, and operating anyway,
especially these days.
It does kind of point the future, the finger towards the future, though, in a
well, then you just have to do something online if you don't want to do something.
Yeah,
going to be
exactly.
Found.
Yeah. The return of non-line activity.
Yes.
Noel, thank you.
Thank you.
Noel McCarthy. Steve McCabe is with Penny Ashton, and together they will be on the panel shortly after the news, the weather and the mountain forecast.